Hi there, I'm Robin Shuckburgh, your Cotswold Explorer. Today, we're in the great surroundings of the West Orcs Arts Gallery in Bampton, in West Oxfordshire. And with me, I have the leader of the longest established open studio event in the country, the standard bearer of all similar events around the nation, and still, by a country mile, the most successful, Oxfordshire Art Weeks. We're going to find out a little bit about her, a lot about Art Weeks itself, and how, or indeed if, she's managed to hold this amazing event together over the terrible years of 20 and 21. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Oxfordshire Art Weeks Festival Director, Esther Lafferty. Esther, welcome. And thank you very much for coming in this extraordinary time to do this with us. I ought to explain to everybody that we're obeying most of the rules here as best we possibly can. We're staying apart from one another. We're in a big open space and rather sadly empty. Galleries are sad things, aren't they, when they're empty like this. But we're doing our best. And anyway, it's very decent of you to join us. I'm going to start, if I may, to ask you a little bit about you. I know you were at Oxford University. You were at the Queen's College.
Yes, that's right.
And I wanted to ask why it was, and having come out of the Queen's, one of the great colleges of Oxford, of course, we all love the Queen's College, it's sort of cosy in a rather nice way, with a great degree. What persuaded you not to take that degree to New York or Hong Kong and instead to stay in Oxford?
I loved Oxford. I grew up in the Northwest. And I went to a grammar school where they suggested that I maybe applied for Oxford or Cambridge. And I remember rattling down in the car, the old car, the head of sixth form, head of girls' sixth form, and with a couple of other bright sparks. And we drove down the Woodstock Road, and it was so leafy. I think it was late spring, it was probably May time. And then when we got to St Giles, and it opened up, and there were the colleges on either side, the buildings on either side, the golden stone, they looked like mini castles. And I just thought, wow, I didn't know places like this existed, it's amazing. And so I decided then that I would really like to go to Oxford, and I fell in love with it then, and I still love it now. And I've always lived in Oxfordshire ever since.
Yes, I see. I know how Oxford is kind of magnetic. It's not only in Oxfordshire, as you suggested, the county is. I mean, I've lived in it all my life myself, despite having tried to escape many a time. But it is wonderful, and I'm not at all surprised. But then, so you come out of university and you decide, I think, to join a publishing company.
Yes, well, I studied human sciences. I've always loved people, but I had a kind of science background, so that was my people and biology all squashed into one. Though it was a very broad course and it included linguistics and things like that, so it's much, much broader than kind of just biology and psychology, sociology. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, really. I wasn't very driven to do something in the city and earn a huge amount of money, and I was a rower. I loved the river. I didn't want to move too far from the Thames. And I saw the job at Oxford University Press. It was in medical publishing, which when you have a human sciences degree, most people with a medical degree go into medicine. Yeah. So it was a really great fit. And so I started there, and I was there for quite a few years. I absolutely loved it. I traveled a lot, and it wasn't compatible with small children.
Okay. The organisation, I'm told, I mean, I've known various people who work there, is a good one in many ways. It's very close, and people, you know, it's sort of family-like in a way.
Yes, I loved it. It was a building not dissimilar to an Oxford College. Yeah. I made a lot of very good friends there that are still very good friends today. Yeah. Yes, I thought it was a great place to work. Yeah.
So then your next move, I mean, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but your next move is into Art Weeks. So how was there anything in between? Or?
There was stuff in between. So when the children were very small, I was organising local events. Oh. And I was also an Amazon reviewer back in the day when Amazon was still, well, it was probably still big, but it was not anything like it is now. And I was a children's book reviewer for Amazon. And those two things kind of came together when I started to work for the Story Museum. Now, Story Museum in the centre of Oxford is a wonderful kind of building that celebrates children's literature. Yeah. I started working with them before they'd found that building, and I was organising a multi-venue event called Alice's Day, which is in July and celebrates Alice in Wonderland and, you know, Lewis Carroll's writing that. So you can see the link already, the kind of Alice in Wonderland, the multi-venue factor, lots of events, lots of volunteers, lots of people involved. And so while I was at the Story Museum, and I think I worked with them for about 4 years, probably, that's when I saw that the festival director for Art Weeks had moved on, and the role came up, and a friend of mine gave me the advert, pointed me in the direction, and I read it and I thought, wow, that's perfect for me. Though, to be honest, I nearly didn't make it, because I was going to meet the board for the very first time at Corpus Christi College.
Yeah.
And I was walking down Merton Street with its wonderful cobbles, and they were filming an episode of Morse. So I got sort of sucked into this parade of chanting monks. And we all know what happens if you get involved with Morse. Like, you know, I could equally have been under the ground. But no, I made it through the parade of monks and met the board. So I've been doing Art Weeks now for 10 years.
Really? Well, that's a long, long and brave time. Well, in that case, now a little explanation about what Art Week is. I mean, it's been going, I think, since the 1980s, is that right? And if my memory serves me right, we arrived in Oxford in about 85, and I think we started taking part in it. I think it was probably, this is my wife, as many of our viewers already know, is a painter. And in about 85 or 6.
Yes, next year is Art Week's 40th anniversary.
Right.
So it must have...
So it was 2 or 3.
I think it's next year, so yes.
Well, and it was started who by, was it locals or...?
Yes, it was a group of local artists in Oxford around a kitchen table. It's an idea that somebody had seen in the States, so it's an idea shipped in from the States, and just the idea that people open their homes, they open their studios, and they invite locals, the general public, in.
Yeah.
Art Weeks, Oxfordshire Art Weeks, was the first open studios event in the UK. And it's now an idea that's spread all over the UK,
right,
and actually all over the world, really.
Yes, I did wonder whether... I mean, I've certainly seen it elsewhere, and I've seen it in Italy, and I've in one or two other places of this kind. It did start entirely as a way of inviting people into the studios. And it isn't quite that anymore, is it?
I think all sorts of changing circumstances, just from whether it's house prices or people have found different ways to take part. So we now would say we were open studios and pop-up exhibitions.
Yes, okay. That makes a bit more sense, because then some groups work together and so forth. How many people are taking part?
This year is slightly smaller,
right.
But in a normal year we have 1,000 members who are exhibiting, and on top of that there are probably another 1,000 people who are involved in one way or another, because they're part of a community group, so they're not selling their work, but there might be a photography group or charities often have a lot of members who all submit one piece, or schools. So we probably have up to 2,000 people taking part in a normal year.
Gracious me, so it's huge. And you'll forgive me, but your administrative staff is small. I mean,
yes, we make an awful lot of noise for 2 people, and we are both part-time, and even if you squash us both together, we're not quite a full-timer.
Really?
So, fortunately, we love it, and we go the extra mile, and it's a great thing.
I know that you do that. I mean, it's amazing how you answer queries or when you know the complicated. And this year, in fact, last year and this year again, you've had to rely on the artists understanding technology, which, I mean, frankly, this is a sort of concept that seems to complete an answer.
Well, it's funny that you say that we have to rely on the artists. I mean, we are, and many of them are stepping up and doing just a fantastic, fantastic job. Though, so it's a year since Boris announced that we were going into shutdown and lockdown as a country. And at that point, it was 6 weeks to go before we were due to open the doors of the 2020 festival. And so everybody was saying, we have to cancel. Of course you'll have to cancel. And we said, no, we will announce that we are taking the festival online. And at that moment, we did this announcement and we told everybody, and the papers ran a great spread that said, innovative online approach to open studios. At that moment, Joe and I actually didn't know what we were going to do, apart from please look at the website. So it was this mad scramble to think, okay, so what do we have in terms of content and what can we do to make it sort of just more user-friendly online? Because until last year, the website had been really focused on a map with a lot of pins for all the different venues.
Yeah.
And then there was lots of additional information on it, but the venues were always the starting point. So if you took away the venues, it was this kind of amorphous mass of extra information.
Yes.
So what we did was we had online, we built these kind of online art trails within the structure, so that instead of having a list of 500 artists, all of whom have some extra pictures and things, you were able to say, okay, I'll take a trip to the coast, or I'll chill in the garden, or I'll enjoy home comforts, interior design, into the forest, or adventures abroad, or whatever it was. And then we had subdivided the artists and the work that they did into those categories. But again, six weeks before the festival was due to open, at that point we hadn't got that extra information in from artists, and we didn't know exactly what we would get. So we created videos of the artwork we did have to kind of head up those themes. This year, lots of people did put their own video content on, and it was a really great festival last year in the virtual sense.
Yeah.
This year, though, the legacy is that we're going to do all of that again, but people have got more time to prepare.
Yeah.
So at this point now, we've already got some brilliant, brilliant things to look at, and people are still working on it.
Yes, I see. So they've thought about it for a long time, and therefore they're beginning to. So do they? For the artists, I'm assuming that for many of them, anyway. This is because it's a non-selective business.
It is. We're an inclusive festival.
Exactly.
We include, so we have established artists, and about a third of our professional artists became established by using the Art Weeks mechanism, which is brilliant for people to dip their toe in the water.
Yeah.
So we have the established artists, but we also have emerging artists. And it might be the very first time they've shown their work. Their friends and their family have said, it's brilliant, you should sell it. But they don't quite believe it. And one of my favourite stories is a chap who, in fact, it's his 21st year this year. So he's opening his studio near Burford this year, a sculptor. But it was his sister who submitted his entry the very first time, because he was, I can't possibly.
Really?
And she submitted it. And then once he was in that festival guide, he had to show his work, and people loved it. So we are very inclusive. And again, we think that's great, because it does mean that children or people just can have a go and show their work and see what people think of it.
So do I. I mean, I think it's the most wonderful thing. And in fact, I can imagine that there are dozens of artists who would never have shown their stuff otherwise. But it also means that they begin to rely on it to sell things. It puts a slight added responsibility onto the Art Weeks. I know it's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. And it is the online thing working quite well from that point of view. Are the sales holding up reasonably?
It's hard for me to answer that spot on, because we aren't a selling site.
No,
so we are a promotional site for all of the artists. But what we are doing as an organisation is saying, here is wonderful art to look at, and here are the contact details of the artists. So while we do get a certain amount of feedback, we don't have spot-on statistics of what's sold. Now, in a normal year, in real venues, we estimate that about £1 million worth of art changes hand across Oxfordshire, which is a huge amount of money. I know it's staggering, really, but online it won't have been anything like that, partly because lots of the artists weren't able to step up to the challenge. They just had other challenges of their own at home, whether it was homeschooling or shopping for relatives or whatever it was, or they work in the NHS in their day job. So the number of artists was reduced, but the people who really bought into the virtual idea, many of them did quite well. It was also, though, about making new contacts and spreading their networks.
Yes.
And that was great.
It does that enormously. And it's one of the things that interests us so much, is that, what is great fun is to be able to tell people from all over the world that this is going on. Because it is, in my view, a really good example of the sort of way in which communities can work together. And this terrible year we've had is on the verge of destroying so much of what is sort of fundamental to our lives in the way of arts of all kinds, that it's rather wonderful that this one is able to continue.
Yes. Well, last year we were, well, lucky for us, possibly not for everybody who'd hoped to be involved in, that we have a kind of very annual cycle. So artists paid to be part of the organisation.
Right.
And they had already paid for their 2020 membership and exhibitions. So we had that money. We knew that we couldn't return it because we would have been tens of thousands of pounds in the red. And our artists understood that because we don't get any funding from anywhere else. We are self-funded as an organisation. We're proud to be self-funded because it means that we can do what suits the artist, and we're not having to be driven by, we must get this grant for doing this reason. This yeah. and that. So last year we were all right, but this year we were worried whether if things had a real impact on people signing up to be involved this year, how that would affect us. And there was some fairly kind of intakes of breath, large and deep intakes of breath at the end of the year and the beginning of this year, when it was in the balance for only a short time, but we just didn't quite know whether we would have enough support from the artist community to be able to carry forward into this year. But fortunately, we've been going so long, and the artists do so value what we add to, you know, their trading, but to their lives, to their focus, all sorts of things, and the support we give them, that most people, or two-thirds certainly, were able. We said to people, if you can afford to take the punt this year, please do, and two-thirds of people did.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's a good proportion. I'm not entirely surprised. The thing is that it's definitely not just about selling their work. I mean, being an artist is a lonely business, and, you know, they don't often actually get to see anybody at all. So that business of opening your studio, whilst nerve-wracking, is sometimes, for many of them, a highlight of their years.
Oh, absolutely it is.
An important part of it all. So I'm delighted it's working out well. I think it's a brave of you to continue. What are your sort of priorities over the next sort of 6 months or so? Let's assume that this year's exhibition goes well. It's about a month's worth of exhibiting, isn't it? It goes on for around about a month. Are you then in need of more artists in the next year? Does that become a priority for you, to recruiting artists?
I suppose we have a gentle approach to recruiting. I mean, I imagine that next year most people who didn't exhibit this year but are regulars will come back. Oh, I mean, there's always some turnover because people move away from Oxford. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
So people move away, or for whatever reason they hang up their paintbrushes, or they get diverted into a different career or something. So there's always a gentle turnover, but we do have a very, very loyal artist base. I suppose I don't think of it as recruitment. I think of it as reaching out to people, because what we want to do is welcome people in and encourage people to be part of it. But it's not so much about the finances, it's about the making sure that we are there for the artist community. I mean, we're a not-for-profit organisation,
yeah.
So we are about trying to support artists and also to encourage people to enjoy art. And art in its very broadest sense. So that's, you know, everything from jewellery, fashion, furniture. We've got glass art. There's textiles, there's ceramics. And if somebody thinks what they are creating is art, then by all means,
yes,
that's fine for us. We are happy to include that. And the people who think it's interesting will come, or, you know.
And those are, yeah.
So we don't like to cut off.
No snootiness of any kind here. Then there's none of that. There's no difference between art and craft and all that kind of thing. If it's assumed to be art by whoever it is who makes it,
yes,
that's good enough for you. That seems to make sense. Okay, so that's, I mean, I do think it's a wonderful thing, and so I only ask the questions so that people can prepare themselves if they want to apply to join the whole thing next year. You're restricted to the Oxfordshire borders. I know that you divide it up when it's open, actually open, you divide the areas up. But are you restricted to Oxfordshire?
We are really restricted to Oxfordshire. We're Oxfordshire Art Week, so we support Oxfordshire artists. Having said that, we take a pragmatic approach. So if somebody is just a couple of miles over the border, then we can, and they're on a main road in and out, and there's a venue 2 miles away, then it's fine for them to be included. If somebody's 8 miles over the border and they're not near anybody else, then actually then it's not really the right place for them anyway.
No, it would be, no, you're wrong. Well, because one of the things I have noticed over the years is that it works better for communities if they can get lots of artists in an area to create a destination for people, because it's all very well traveling 50 miles, but if you're only ever going to see one artist when you get to the end of it, that's a bit of a bind. But if, and sometimes, I think Watlington springs to mind, have taken on the concept with a vengeance, and they, you know, they opened art venues everywhere, I mean, every shop, everything. Is that part of you, or is that, it's certainly inspired by you, I take it?
I think it's something that people have done naturally in different areas, because the artists network, and then they say, well, why don't we do a little walking trail, for example, so people can go along the street and they'll know that there's eight venues, and it helps everybody within that patch. So that, although we're happy to facilitate that and encourage that, that is generally down to the local artists on the ground.
It's put together by the locals. And it's, but it's very effective. I mean, I've noticed this in the town in which I live, where suddenly now we have, I've lost count now, but there are lots of artists in the village who, and of course the gallery itself, and they all do it at the same time and communicate with one another, and that creates a wonderful sense of community as well, so it's very good.
People are going for day trips, and they will go and they will go to a place and they'll see half a dozen or a dozen venues in a place, and that it's just a lovely day out then.
Absolutely.
What's interesting though is where somebody is further away, you might think, well, they'll have less visitors, and yes, they probably do have less visitors because they're not on the day trip journey so much, but the people who go and visit them have chosen to go and see them.
Yes.
So it's a slightly more discerning visitor that does go and see them.
Yeah.
So it can work both ways.
Yes, I see. Well, I wish you the very best of luck with this year's effort. I'm full of admiration about the fact that you've managed to keep it going through this very difficult time. Let's hope that people visit the site a lot. What you really now want is visitors to the site from all over the world, buying people's work.
And enjoying the art, and if they like it, buying it.
And you'll produce one of the biggest online exhibitions around, and it's going to be very, very exciting.
There'll be thousands and thousands of pieces, I'm sure.
Well, Esther, thank you so much for that. It was exactly what I was hoping, and a fascinating conversation. To look at this unparalleled exhibition, whether it turns out to be online or otherwise, visit our website. Most of you know what that is, www.thecotswoldexplorer.co.uk, and you'll find a clear link under the Oxfordshire Art Week's logo, which will take you directly there. Give them support, people. I know everyone's had a lousy year, but the arts in general have suffered terribly, and we really must try to assure the future of those things which, in my view, help to define our civilization, the creative arts. We'll see you very soon. Goodbye.